Gentlemen, it's good to be back with you. Again, this is Father Philip Chavez. We spoke earlier about the leader, protector, provider. Now we want to go on to the priest, prophet, and the king. Let us say again another prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we again place ourselves in your holy presence, asking for your light, asking for your strength, asking for the gifts and the influence of your Holy Spirit that may come upon us now to understand our identity more deeply as men. Men called to your service, men called to lay everything down. Help us, invigorate us in that calling you've helped us to see in our nature as leaders, protectors, and providers. But lift us up to help us see us toward your working toward your heavenly kingdom as priests, prophets, and kings. Again, we thank you, we praise you for glorify you for all that you have done through your Son, through your work in his church. And we ask all these things in his name. Amen. My brothers, I want to propose something at the outset that might help us give a better perspective on what we're supposed to be doing in God's kingdom. I think we need to look more carefully, or at least more directly, at the end for which we were created. You know, I hear a lot of men say that, well, basically my job is to get me and my family to heaven. Well, I'm not saying that's not your job, but it's a very short-ranged way of looking at reality and looking at God's kingdom. My brothers, let me make this clear. You are not made simply to save your souls. You were made to glorify your heavenly Father. And in giving him glory, you will indeed save the souls and those around you. But it's not just a matter of a spiritual journey, see, of just saving your soul, but it's a matter of taking everything in your nature, everything that you have to give, everything God gave you, every gift, every aptitude, every faculty, every capacity, that you take that and you lift it up to a higher purpose and to a higher end, that you build up everything, every gift that God gave you in order for you to move forward. Now, when we look at life and reality this way, and to see that everything that we have we're to give to our Heavenly Father for His glory, for His honor, for His purposes, it changes the way we look at everything. You were made indeed to share in the glory of God. But you see, when we're here on earth, it seems to me the ultimate thing we want to say is to repeat those words of Jesus Christ before He was offered up in his own death. And it's one of my favorite passages in John 17:4. I have glorified thee on earth, having accomplished the work which thou gavest me to do. Gentlemen, this is what you want to have on your lips, and this is what I want to have on mine. That we know that what we did and everything we did, our efforts, our journey, everything that we gave glory to our Heavenly Father. And so in this way, our legacy, my brothers, doesn't start with just looking at our sins. It doesn't start with just looking at becoming or staying in a state of grace. It's a matter of taking everything and looking back at our entire lives and seeing how it has given God's glory, how it has, as God's glory has worked in us through His grace, through His power, through His anointing, through all that He has carried us to be with us to this time. But we want to look ahead to see how further we can contribute and cooperate with that grace He gives us. Why? For His sake, not for ours. For His purposes, not for ours. For His glory. And I understand that our minds are darkened, our wills are weakened, our passions, they indeed are hard to subdue. And it is very difficult. It is very difficult moving forward. But you see, we have to do so with confidence that our Lord's going to give us the strength, the power, the faculties that we need to move forward, again, to give Him glory. Now, as we spoke about in the beginning, we give Him glory, first of all, by following our natural mission, is to be a leader, a protector, and provider. So with our gifts of leadership, we navigate all those in our care, directing them as best we can to what their perfection is, directing them to give glory, to teach them to give glory to their own Heavenly Father. We want to protect all those in our care. We want to be a tower of strength for them. And we want to protect everything innocent and good and holy about those we love, especially the women and children in our lives. But also being a provider, we want to give God glory through all that we can do in our hands to serve Him and to serve others through our own hands, through our own skills, our own aptitudes, our own talents. This is the way we give glory to God in the natural order. But it seems to me, gentlemen, we take a step up and we can look very clearly at how we give glory to God in another way. And that is by identifying ourselves with that journey, that mission of Jesus Christ. which is to be a priest, a prophet, and a king. We're to walk in the way, the truth, and the life, which is of Jesus Christ. What is that way? It is the way of the priest, the way of the prophet, the way of the king. What does that mean specifically? Well, we can narrow it down to these words. As Christ's office of priest was to sanctify, we too are called to be sanctifying of others. As his office was to teach, we too are supposed to teach others. And so also too, in his office of kingship, he governed in the kingdom of God and governed the church for his sake to move toward that greater kingdom. And so we too participate in that kingship, not so much in a governance way, but more so in a way of service. And so when you look at the life of Jesus Christ, as he worked for the sanctification of others, as he instructed others with his teaching, and as he governed, he did everything. He carried out his entire mission, whether it was with his disciples, whether he labored and prayed in the desert, the way he defended women. And what he wants us to do, our Lord is so good to us. He just didn't open us to us a kingdom, my brothers. He wants us to share in his mission, to share in his glory. He wants to give us a piece of the action. That is how good he is to us. That is how much he wants us to incorporate us into his body, that we too participate in his work, the work he accomplished, and we help bring it along to a greater fulfillment and a greater perfection. Our Lord wants to share this, his office with us. And so we are told in 1 Peter 2:9, we become a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, to build up the kingdom of God in heaven. And so this is our mission, my brothers, to be a priest, prophet, and king, to walk in the steps of Jesus Christ. It's just that simple. And that's what we need to do. We need to keep moving forward such that we understand and imbibe more of what our Lord did in his role of sanctifying, in his role of teaching, and in his role of governing. We have to take this seriously, my brothers, because you have an enemy who does not tire, who does not rest, who takes no breaks. He has no playbook. In fact, he doesn't play by the rules. He wants to crush you. He wants to maul you. He wants to take you out. He is the worst of villains, and he is the worst criminal you have ever met. He is fierce, and he does not tire, and he does not rest. Your devil prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. So we have to stay awake and be alert. Be most vigilant. Be most vigilant how? By being priests, prophets, and kings, and not wavering from that task. Now, we are priests, my brothers, because of a consecration we have received at baptism. It was a great honor to baptize a young boy this morning. And through that baptism, this young boy was incorporated into a kingdom and was made a son of the Heavenly Father. But as this boy matures, he's going to be able to mature with those gifts that were given him. The fullness of grace, his restoration of sanctifying grace. But you see, he was given certain gifts and fruits of the Spirit also to participate in. And yes, as he progresses in his life, those will become and those will be given greater fruition. But you see, he was given an anointing by God. The character of Jesus Christ placed right on his soul. So he can do through his prayers, when he is so mature to give them, when his intellect and will develops, he can give glory to his Heavenly Father through his role of sanctifying himself and sanctifying others. And boy, when we see this power that our Lord has given us, it is tremendous. You know, to illustrate one aspect of this, I like that account in Luke chapter 10, where our Lord sends out his 72. Now, this is early on in his apostolic ministry. And he wants him to go before him, laying the groundwork. And what he says is, he says, do the things you see me do. And so they imitate our Lord, and they go out there, and they say, Lord, even the devils are subject to us in thy name. Now, they cured the sick, they cast out demons, they did all the things they saw our Lord do, but the devil too shuddered before the disciples using that name of Jesus Christ. We use that name, my brothers. We invoke that name and have confidence. We can change the world. And our Lord responds, says, yes, I know, guys. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions, over the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. This is the effect of that sanctification. This is the effect of the graces and the fruits and the strength we have been given through our Savior. And what I want to challenge all of you guys at the outset right now in fulfilling your mission as a priest is to make a complete offering of yourself, not just now, but every day, every morning. And specifically, not just yourself as a man and all that you do, but specifically in the morning to consecrate all your prayers, works, joys, and sufferings, that all of these may be continually sanctified, but they may also work for the sanctification of others and for God's glory. Gentlemen, in some way we could say the most important act or important prayer you can make at the beginning of the day is to make this morning offering of consecrating everything of yourself as a priest. Everything that you do, everything that you say, everything that you think is all offered up to the Heavenly Father for your sanctification and the sanctification of others for the building of His kingdom. And secondly, my brothers, you are a prophet. You have the gift of faith. It has been given to you. And through this gift of faith, what we need to do is come to understand it very practically speaking. Yes, there's a dynamic of that faith for which we give assent to those things and those mysteries which have been revealed. And so what we need to do with this faith is come to know those mysteries more deeply, to learn our faith, to imbibe a deeper understanding of the commandments, the mysteries of Jesus Christ, His Blessed Mother, His Heavenly Father, and of course the Spirit. And we want to give ourselves to these mysteries, to work toward these mysteries, in such a way that we can imbibe them and make them part of our own life and our own reality. You know, I'm reminded of the power of this, because when we come to understand the Word of God and we come to speak it and give testimony to it, first of all, of course, living it, but once we give testimony to it through our life and our words, the Satan is taken out. We become victorious, we become edifying, we come to build the kingdom of God more deeply. In Revelation 12, you can learn about the world at war into which you are born. Satan and all of his minions fought against the dragon and those good angels. And the whole world, we are told, lies in the power of the evil one. But how did we ever overcome this satanic invader? The saints overcame him, as it says in Revelation 12, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. For they love their lives not even unto death. The blood of the Lamb, yes, through the sacramental power we have, through the sacred Eucharist, which we imbibe through God's body and His blood. But you see, we also need to bring forth the power of our testimony, our words. We see this in the entire log, especially since our Lord's resurrection, of all the testimony given by His apostles and by St. Paul, how powerful that was, how fearless they were. For they loved their lives not even unto death. They had no fear. That is where we need to go, brothers, with the testimony that we bring forth of Jesus Christ, the testimony of a true prophet who speaks the truth at all times and at all seasons. And let it be done, gentlemen, as you have faith. If your faith is weak, if it is fragile, if it is faltering, you ask God to increase that faith. You ask Him to strengthen it and be more of a stronger testimony to it. Because I know, even though we may understand certain things, there's something about us which falters in our ability to give testimony to it. It's something we just have to work on. But be clear, as disciples learn in Luke 10, how powerful their words are. Powerful when we use these words in faith, as we are told, according to you have faith, it will be done unto you. With faith, in the enunciation of words, and by the power of the sacrament, which we participate in, we can indeed move mountains. But the words of God, which we must learn through the Gospels especially, to learn to imbibe those in our own speech, to learn how to imbibe those in all our actions, and make those things identify us as Christians. And once we begin to do and use the Scriptures as the Word of God, which is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, we're told in Hebrews 4, when we use those words and enunciate them, they bring power and they cut through like that double-edged sword, cut through sin, cut through objections, that cuts through evil. My friends, our words as prophets, in faith, in confidence in our learning, when we enunciate them and we use them for God's kingdom, we become most powerful. And gentlemen, indeed, we need to stand up for the truth. We need to stand up, certainly, if not only for Christian values, to be fearless in the face of teaching the Christian truths as we understand them, but also speaking as prophets of truth in light of the evils out there against abortion, against pornography, as we were just told about, as against all other evils for which our rights and our dignity has been assaulted and taken away. We have to stand up. This is the prophet in us, my brothers, the prophet who has to stand up for something good, something true, something wholesome, with his words, using also too the words of Scripture to back us up in power. Now, thirdly, my brothers, we are told that we are also kings. And I think this is really cool because our Lord just doesn't want us to receive this kingdom. You see, he wants to give us a role manifesting his power, his strength, and also building up that kingdom of God with him, alongside of him, with his strength, with his power, and with all that he has been given. Christ draws us into him to make this all happen. He draws us through his grace, through his summons. And so he reaches out to all of us by teaching us, mentoring us, and correcting us. And this is too how we need to reach out to others with our skills, in not a spirit or not with an aspect of governing like our Lord did, but in a specific dimension of service. We need to take our gifts, our abilities, our aptitudes, and use those for the building of the kingdom of God. For our Lord came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. We too have to adopt this spirit of service, the spirit of a slave, the spirit is willing to give everything in service to God's kingdom, whatever it takes. A slave, why? One who must be absolutely obedient to the will of his master. That is where we have to be, my brothers. And this doesn't mean we you know, as servants, we sweep up floors or mop up, you know, the soup kitchens or stuff envelopes or, God help us, be part of another, you know, a church committee. No. We serve with our abilities, with our aptitudes, with our strengths, working together, as I mentioned before, with our band of brothers, meeting together, figuring out ways for which we could build up this kingdom of God. It is in all of you, gentlemen. And I know, as I spoke before about the leader, protector, and provider who sees something greater than himself, he sees that he must build up for the common good. You gentlemen know there's something deep in you. There's something very profound. The king is already in us. We know that we're supposed to take whatever we have and build up something greater than we are. We all want to be part of building up this kingdom of God, not just on earth, which we need to do through the church, but also in heaven. We know deep within there's something outside of our families, even outside of our communities, that we are supposed to live for and that we are supposed to die for. That is why all of these movies, such as Braveheart, Gladiator, and The Kingdom of Heaven, they resonate with us. Why is that? Because we know they're fighting for a kingdom. They're fighting against injustice. They're taking out a villain. In our case, the villain is Satan himself, working for something greater than themselves, and then they find happiness. Then they find purpose, and then they find identity. And as I said, our Lord is so good to you because he wants to give you a piece of the action in building up this kingdom and taking it for Christ. And again, as I mentioned before, gentlemen, there's only one thing that remains, just one thing. Our Lord's kingdom is already established. There are souls already in that kingdom. The question remains, how many more stars will shine for all eternity because of your efforts, because of what you did, because the priest, prophet, and king in you that actually acted and did not sit still. The priest, prophet, and king in you, which merged with other priests, prophets, and kings. You garnered your ideas. You summoned each other in their strengths. You moved forward, banding together to figure out how you can best bring about the glory of God together, for the sake of his kingdom. Building up your own strengths, validating your brothers in their strengths, in the way God's grace is working with them, and moving forward to build up that kingdom. Our Lord is so good to us. Our Lord is so good. But the reality is, gentlemen, there are few who engage. Why that is, I don't know. But there are few who engage. And so the lives of many lie in the courage of a few, the few brave men who are willing to lay something down Gentlemen, I ask you, are you one of those few? Would you like to be one of those few? Do you have what it takes to be one of those few? Is this something you desire and something to long for, that you could stand alone as one of those few who did whatever they could? And I'll tell you, if it's not for those few who recognize their strengths, who move forward in courage, if we don't, the few of us even who move together, many people will be disappointed. Many people will suffer. The kingdom of God will falter in the numbers it otherwise could have had. Many gentlemen are depending exactly on you. Here you are being called. Here you are being summoned. And as I mentioned before, gentlemen, there's not one among us who is not without some great fault, without some great weakness. But you see, it's our Lord's gift to you because he puts it in there. Why is that? So we, through our cooperation, surmounting our weakness, together with him, with confidence in him, in the grace and the power he's already given us, that we move forward nonetheless, trusting in that strength of Jesus Christ, trusting that he will indeed help us with every action, every movement, every inspiration, that we will do the right, that we will fight for the good, that we will defend the cause. This is where we need to move forward, gentlemen. We have been set forth in the image of Christ to heal the brokenhearted and to set the captives free. This is what we should be doing in the church. This is what we need to be doing individually. This is what we need to be doing collectively. So you move forward, my brothers, working for the glory of the Heavenly Father. And like myself, I want to face my own Heavenly Father. And when I die, and in my last breath, aside from asking for God's mercy, I hope to say with Jesus Christ, John 17:4, I have glorified thee on earth, having accomplished the work thou gavest me to do. That's what I want to say. That's where I want to be. Gentlemen, you move forward with confidence in God's promises, confidence in your gifts and aptitudes, all the grace you have given to be priests, prophets, and kings, and also as leaders, protectors, and providers. But I assure you, you move forward as priests, prophets, and kings, trusting and learning about those abilities you have, the faculties to sanctify yourself and others, to move forward as a prophet, to learn the truth of God and to give yourself to that truth and enunciate with conviction to others. And you move forward as a king to serve in the kingdom of God with conviction, with confidence that God will give you the grace you need for your service, and you will indeed be unstoppable. And you will say with our Lord, it is not I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. Gentlemen, I want to thank you for all that you've done in your own families, for all the work that you've done in the church, for all that you've done for your wives, your children, for all the sacrifices you have made. But again, I just want to challenge you again to move forward to a higher level. You all have to ask yourself, what is the next step? What is the next thing I must do? Where is it that I must move forward to bring forth God's glory? What do I need to do to take that step to be a priest and sanctify others? What is the next step for me to become a prophet? Do I need to learn my faith more? What is it that I haven't read or know that I have to read to move forward as a prophet? Likely, gentlemen, it is Scripture. You know, it's going to be otherwise hard to imbibe the promises of Jesus Christ and to realize those in our lives and have those promises define us unless we ourselves are not living them. And to serve the kingdom of God, we also need to learn more about our gifts, how we can serve, and you will learn those through the Gospels. And also in the book of Acts, especially, you know, as we see those accounts of Peter and St. Paul and all that they did, just continually moving forward for God's glory in the building of his kingdom. Gentlemen, where are you at right now? What is that next step you need to take? What's the next move you need to make? You with, please God, your band of brothers. Some of you guys are in a men's group, and you've all got to ask every now and then, gents, what more can we be doing to move forward the kingdom of God? What more do we need to be doing, especially in light of tackling those problems which our families are facing, or our communities, or our country? Move forward, gentlemen, as priests, prophets, and kings. with confidence in God's work, confidence in all of his promises, and you will find a greater sense of identity. You'll find a deep, profound sense of purpose, and you will move forward with a mission that all around you will admire, and you'll move forward such to bring more stars to shine forever for all eternity. God be with you, men, and God be with you on your way. Keep strong, keep steadfast. Now move forward.
Men, we want to thank you tonight for taking the time to visit with us and hanging out with us here at the Catholic Men's webinar. I especially want to thank Father Philip for traveling down here. You know, he baptized my son this morning. And what a unique honor and a privilege that was for me personally to be able to bring my youngest son into the church through this great man. And so, Father, I just want to just once again thank you.
You're welcome,
thank
you, Joe. It's my honor.
Thank you for your sacrifice. Josh, too. Josh LeBlanc, he probably needs to step into the frame a little bit. Josh also traveled, you know, all the way from Lafayette, Louisiana to come out here to my house in Texas, in Spring, Texas, to share his gifts and his ministry and share his passion with you tonight, man. And we sincerely appreciate that. Josh, if you could just check to see if there's any questions for us or the chat room.
I would check.
I'd love to do that. In the meantime, Father, can you just give us a little bit of background about the Amator Institute?
Sure.
And what you hope to accomplish with that?
Sure. Sure, Joe. Yeah, the Amator Institute, first of all, Amator means the man who loves. And that's what we're trying to build in all men, a man who really loves. Well, how does a man love? Well, he loves by laying down his life, giving everything he has to serve, you know, all those that he loves and all those even that he doesn't love to serve his fellow man. And in the Amator Institute, what I'm finding in all of my work, which, you know, in my 16 years of priesthood, was that men don't understand their journey. They don't understand their identity as beloved sons or brothers, or they don't understand what it is to become a real vital man. And so what I'm trying to do, Joe, is just to continue to help men understand their identity. And certainly the mission which we've covered this evening is so critical. Gentlemen, I find many men always wondering, you know, what is my mission? What is my purpose? There are so many guys out there, and I'm talking about ball-playing Catholics, faithful in the reception of the sacraments, faithful in what everything they're trying to do in life, faithful to their families, but they still ask, after years of laboring in the church, after years of in the workforce, they still ask, what is my purpose? Where is my life going? I want something more, and I don't know what that is. Well, it's very, very simple, gentlemen. We're not fulfilling our full mission as leaders, protectors, and providers, priests, prophets, and kings. We have to do what we are made for. And when we begin to do that, then we find fulfillment. Then we find that life becomes rich. And then we find purpose. So we're not asking, you know, what is my purpose in life? No, that becomes very, very clear as we find out our mission. So this is what I try to help, Joe, is try to help men find this purpose and understand that mission so they can move forward as men.
Now, you've got several CD resources on your website available for purchase right away. And you also have a CD of the Month Club.
Right.
So if you donate to the Amator Institute through Father's website, then you can actually join the CD of the Month Club and receive some of his great resources on a monthly basis. It would be a phenomenal deal. And that would be great. I guess we have a question. Josh, you want to read the question to us?
The question is, Father, how do you feel that the... Let me make sure I get it right. How do you feel that the Second Vatican Council affected the role of men in the church?
How does the Second Vatican Council affect the role of men? Well, there was a concern about members of the council that the laity didn't understand their dignity as baptized Christians. And I think what the council tried to do is just trying to help a Christian understand their dignity in Christ and to believe and imbibe that they too have a vital role in the kingdom of God. Now, some can argue eventually some of the laity moved to some dangerous territory and maybe you know, we got into the realm of some of the office and the duties of the priests, and I won't argue with that. But that's not what I think the council in any ways meant. The council really wanted us to become more alive and did mention, you know, about our mission as being priests, prophets, and kings, that we have a vital role to play in the kingdom of God. So I think it was very, very important that the council inspire that. You know, certainly the council came along at a very challenging time for which, you know, there were many things which came along that challenged the words and the message of that council, which is unfortunate, and the direction that the some individuals and members of the church took after that, which is maybe a giving a laity maybe somewhat too much of an inspiration to move into areas that don't properly belong to them. I mean, we certainly distinguish between the role of the layman and the role of the priest, and we have to be clear about those things. But in any case, I think that's what the council did. And I think pretty much, well, the laity, I think many of them did feel a calling to move forward. And you know that by the increase of many lay institutions and lay associations that have started in the church. And I think that's been a good thing. We've seen an increase of those. And I think the council was a great inspiration to that.
Father, what's your favorite meditation? What's your favorite devotional and why? What's best for men?
Well, I think finally the best devotion that men can have really is to the Sacred Heart. Mm. Now, the heart, why is that? Why is that? Because the heart of Christ doesn't just depict or encapsulate God's love for us as God, but also as a man. And so we must not only have a devotion to God's love as God, we must also have a devotion to Him as in His love as a man. And that's what we want. We want to love others like Jesus Christ. We want to love others with that Sacred Heart that was fearless, that moved ahead, you know, despite all difficulties, that always did the right, that had the strength to suffer, the strength to lay everything down. And so I find for myself, really the heart is the basis of a real amator, the man who loves, you know. And we want to strengthen that heart in the way Christ's heart Himself was strengthened. Christ Himself was divine, who took on human form and human flesh. His human heart was a reality. And again, it's important we understand, gentlemen, He did love us humanly as well. And so that Sacred Heart is a devotion to the human love of Christ in a very specific way. But that human love is something we want to imbibe, that we want to graft into our own hearts.
Excellent, excellent. Well, Father, what's your schedule look like? Where are you going to be?
Well, let's see. We got some things coming up mainly in D.C. I'll be speaking at a conference there near the Dulles Expo Center in June. Let's see. I forget where I am next week. But
how about the Wild at Heart? Weekend with the Kingsmen.
The Into the Wild weekend. For all of you guys would like to come, it's going to be a lot of fun. It'll be through a Thursday through Sunday, the first week of June. If you guys want experience out there, Into the Wild, we'll be talking about the leader, protector, provider. I'll be the chaplain. I'll be guiding you guys. I think the price is right. It's for three intense nights. We're going to have a great time. I'm going to give myself complete to this program. Mm-hmm. And so I would encourage all of you guys, you know, get on the site, thekingsmen.org, and look at that program. I think you guys would really get a lot of it. In fact, I think they have a specific site for that, intothewildweekend.com. Right. intothewildweekend.com. And I think we're going to have a great time.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Josh, if you can give me an update on where we're at with the chip-in on the project tonight, I would really appreciate that. Once again, I just want to exhort you. Help me. Help me right now by going to my blog at www.catholichack.com and chipping in tonight. Help me by raising some funds for the Amator Institute. If you want to touch the hearts of men all over this country and even all over the world through the resources that he's offering, then we need your help tonight.
$250.
We're at $250 right now. I'm personally going to chip in $300. I'm going to do that tonight. So help me reach the goal of $1,000. Can you help right now? Can you maybe tell a brother to help right now? We really need to do this because Amator Institute is a great men's ministry at a time when we need it most. Yes, the economy is down and people are feeling the stress and the fear of what's going on all around us. But the Sacred Heart does not fear all those things. And so if we're going to look to Christ as our model and our mentor and the man that we all want to be, well, we have to look past those fears, keep our eyes off of the waves and the storms and onto the eyes of Christ, And maybe we too can walk on water. I don't know. It's possible if we only try. So let's try tonight. Go to www.catholichack.com and chip in today, right now, and help me raise $1,000 for the Imator Institute. It's really not a lot of money. I'm sure that we can band together as brothers and make that happen. Well, once again, brothers in Christ, I sincerely appreciate your time. Special thanks to Father Philip.
Thank you, Joe.
Special thanks to Josh LeBlanc. Special thanks to Father Sam Medley, another SALT priest. He's getting ready to go to Russia. He feels a real calling. His mother dedicated him to the Virgin of Russia when he was just a baby. And so he is fulfilling that by going there on mission for probably, I don't know, the rest of his life. He told me 50 years, but who knows? So I want you to pray for Father Sam as he goes there to help, you know, evangelize and help to spread the gospel and help to strengthen the Catholic Church there in Russia. So pray for him too. And for all you brothers out there who've helped me out in many ways, more than I could ever know, to help promote this event and promote the podcast and everything else we do, thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. I'd be remiss if I didn't thank my wife for taking care of the kids downstairs while we're up here trying to put on a men's conference webinar. And I want to thank Annie, which is Josh's wife, for allowing him to come out for the weekend and hang out with me and produce this webinar as well. So from all of us here at the Catholic Men's Webinar, we thank you and we pray for you. Father, can you close us in a prayer and send us on our way?
Absolutely. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we place ourselves again in your presence, asking that you, especially now, through the inspirations we've received here tonight, to help us to move forward as leaders, protectors, and providers, priests, prophets, and kings. Grant us the inspirations we need to take that extra step. Grant us the strength we need to take heed of all these inspirations, all the ideas, all that we receive here tonight to move forward as vital men in your service. Continue, Lord, to work through us. Continue to work through all those who surround us to also, may they inspire us through your work, through your dedication. Send forth your angels before us to minister to us in our every need so that we can move forward, so that you can minister to us more effectively and efficiently. And may the Blessed Virgin Mary keep you all always by her side and your guardian angels and all your heavenly patrons. Protect you and intercede for you for your every need, body, soul, and spirit. But especially so may you and all those your loved ones may share everlasting joy. And the blessing Almighty God has sent upon you for these and all the needs of your life, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. God be with you.